Henry Kissinger embodies one of America's most troubling contradictions. The pudgy, bespectacled figure who glides through Manhattan Gallas is the same man who orchestrated bombing campaigns, killing hundreds of thousands of civilians. While celebrated as an elder statesman dispensing wisdom on television, he simultaneously lives in perpetual anxiety about which countries might arrest him. His memoir sales top $5 million, yet according to multiple legal experts, his actions constitute prosecutable war crimes. This paradox reflects America's complicated relationship with power and accountability. As international justice increasingly penetrates the shield of diplomatic immunity, Kissinger's freedom to travel narrows, explaining his vigilance about which countries he can safely visit. Behind the celebrity facade lies a man whose rise to power was built on duplicity, power worship, and a complete absence of moral scruple, qualities that would define his entire career in government. In fall 1968, Nixon's campaign secretly undermined Vietnam peace negotiations through back-channel communications with South Vietnam's government. His team promised better terms under Republican leadership, persuading South Vietnamese leaders to withdraw from talks days before the election, destroying Humphrey's peace plank and likely costing him the extremely close election. FBI records confirmed this sabotage. On November 2, 1968, Nixon's emissary, Anna Chennault, told Vietnamese Ambassador Bui Diem to hold on, we are going to win. South Vietnam withdrew, Nixon narrowly won, and the war continued for 4 more years before ending on essentially the same terms available in 1968. This extended conflict cost approximately 20,000 more American lives and countless Southeast Asian casualties. Henry Kissinger played both sides masterfully, offering Rockefeller's research to Humphrey while leaking intelligence about Johnson's peace initiatives to Nixon. When Nixon won, his first appointment was Kissinger as National Security Advisor, despite having met him only once. Nixon later explained, "One factor that had most convinced me of Kissinger's credibility was the length to which he went to protect his secrecy." Upon joining Nixon's administration, Kissinger pursued public peace negotiations while secretly expanding the war into neighboring countries. Between Nixon's inauguration and the 1973 Paris Peace Accords, which accepted terms available in 1968, 20,492 American service members died, while civilian deaths in Indochina reached millions. Kissinger's involvement in bombing campaigns was hands-on. By late 1969, he was personally screening raids, reading intelligence, and adjusting bombing runs. As chair of key committees overseeing covert operations, he maintained comprehensive knowledge of both operations and their consequences. Operation Speedy Express exemplifies this approach. Launched in early 1969 to pacify an area confirmed to contain no North Vietnamese regular units, it killed approximately 5,000 non-combatant civilians. The evidence was damning. 10,899 enemy killed, but only 748 weapons captured. An impossible ratio unless most victims were unarmed civilians. A U.S. official admitted these actions were worse than my lie, but occurred in dribbles over time, mostly from the air and at night, and were sanctioned by the command's insistence on high body counts. When East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, erupted in violence in 1971, American diplomats witnessed Pakistani troops systematically massacring civilians. Consul General Archer Blood sent an unprecedented cable denouncing both the genocide and American complicity. The Blood telegram condemned the government for failing to denounce atrocities and displaying moral bankruptcy by placating Pakistan while ignoring the slaughter. Pakistani soldiers burned women's dormitories and machine-gunned students using American weapons. The civilian death toll reached between 500,000 and 3 million, with up to 10 million refugees fleeing to India. Kissinger responded by recalling Blood and dismissing Ambassador Keating as having been taken over by the Indians. Even during the height of the massacre, Kissinger thanked General Yahya Khan for his delicacy and tact. This complicity served diplomatic convenience. Yahya Khan was intermediary with China, though alternative channels already existed. Yahya himself claimed his private understanding with Washington and Beijing would protect him. Evidence suggests Kissinger's Bangladesh policy was also driven by Nixon's hatred toward India, as Nixon detested Indira Gandhi, calling her that bitch, and had loathed her father Nehru. When Salvador Allende won Chile's 1970 election, Kissinger revealed his contempt for democracy, stating Chile shouldn't go Marxist because its people are irresponsible. Nixon ordered immediate action. Not concerned risks involved, $10 million available, make the economy scream. Kissinger established a two-track policy, one diplomatic, one covertly focused on destabilization. The main obstacle was General René Schneider, Chile's military chief who opposed military intervention in politics. At a September 18, 1970 meeting, Kissinger's group decided Schneider must be kidnapped to prevent Allende's confirmation. This was state-supported terrorism, unelected U.S. officials planning to kidnap a constitutional military officer in a democratic allied country. After two failed attempts, the CIA delivered sterile machine guns to another group. On October 22, General Schneider was murdered. Kissinger later claimed to have turned off the plot, but documents show he merely encouraged coordination while maintaining support. Evidence includes CIA agent Brian McMaster delivering hush money to jailed plotters, and Colonel Wimmert retrieving the $100,000 payments and disposing of the three machine guns at sea. 6 years after leaving office, Kissinger established Kissinger Associates, a consulting firm monetizing his international relationships by connecting multinational corporations with foreign governments. Clients like American Express, Lockheed Martin, and Coca-Cola paid annual fees between $250,000 and $1 million. His firm strategically employed former government colleagues, aligning foreign policy expertise with business connections. Kissinger's China connections proved especially profitable, helping companies like H.J. Heinz enter Chinese markets. Despite his anti-communist past, he consistently defended China's interests, notably after the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre, arguing China remains too important for America's national security to risk the relationship on the emotions of the moment. Through ventures like China Ventures, Kissinger facilitated business with authoritarian regimes, promising safe investment through repression. His firm represented controversial clients, including Milosevic's Yugoslavia, Hussein's Iraq during its chemical weapons use, and Burma's repressive SLORC regime, condemned for human rights violations. As Kissinger ages, his diplomatic immunity erodes, increasing his legal vulnerability under international human rights law, the law of armed conflict, international criminal law, and domestic civil remedies. U.S. federal courts have established key precedents regarding jurisdiction over international crimes. The 1980 Letelier case rejected immunity for political assassination, while the Alien Tort Claims Act allows non-U.S. citizens to pursue civil litigation in American courts for international law violations. The international legal landscape has evolved dramatically, with many countries now asserting universal jurisdiction over serious international crimes regardless of location. The Pinochet case established that sovereign immunity no longer shields officials accused of such crimes. General Telford Taylor, chief prosecutor at Nuremberg, noted that under those standards, American officials would face consequences for their Vietnam conduct, emphasizing America's moral obligation to uphold these principles. The failure to prosecute Kissinger undermines the principle that no one stands above the law and suggests that war crimes prosecutions are selectively applied only to defeated enemies or minor despots. Victims and their families continue their dignified pursuit of justice, questioning America's claim to moral leadership while shielding its own war criminals.